This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. And yes, I will have a little air conditioning today. Yay, summer! I really love the summer. I just do. We're on record, by the way, as being the hottest so far. It is 95. It's 95. That doesn't count whatever heat index, blah, blah, blah. But I'm actually in the car, and the car hasn't quite cooled down yet, which is fine, you know. So it's probably 97, 98 in here, but it'll get cooled down here in a little bit, and I'll be fine. In the meantime, I'm enjoying the little bit of sizzle I'm getting against my face. It's good, it's good. It is episode 382. It's Thursday, had a good week, got a lot of things done, doing some analysis at this point. And in this case, what that translates to is I am slogging through a document, transferring information over to a database, cross-correlating stuff, doing quality assurance checks on the data I'm looking at to make sure I understand the data. You know, data does not lie. You can ask people how they do things and what do they put where, but you really find out for sure what's going on when you look at the data. So I always love to get right down on top of the data and start looking through and just running quality assurance checks. Because sometimes when you're doing that, you find a field that has 99999 in it or 88888. That's a pretty good indication somebody is fudging somewhere. So what does it mean when you put 99? Well, we do that. Oh, okay. I haven't found any of that in the data I'm looking at. But I have found that when I've worked with other people's data. So anyways, so it's been fun. It is slogging work. You just have to slog your way through it. But I got through the major part of that. So that's good. Then next week, what I have to do, there's a bunch of tables in this Word document that actually have data that's extremely useful to us. And so I'm going to copy those tables into an Excel spreadsheet, and I'm going to dump the spreadsheet into the database. And then I'm going to write some parsing routines to go in and tear that all apart and hopefully pull it into the table I'm working into, and that way I don't have to do data entry on all of that. It's really interesting. This kind of work is fun. Anyway, so that's all. Seems to be going along fine. Had some good meetings this week. Had a lot of good breakfast this week with buddies. Had a breakfast with a buddy on Monday, had a good breakfast. I was supposed to have breakfast with a buddy on Tuesday, and his alarm didn't go off. So we moved it to Wednesday. I said, well, we can do it on Wednesday. I'll just sit there and watch you eat. He said, oh, I'm really, no, it's okay, it's okay. That really doesn't bother me at all. So we had a really nice breakfast on Wednesday. And then I had a breakfast this morning with a friend. That one's the early morning breakfast. We have that at 6 o'clock because he has to go ahead and get on into work. I think it's 7:30. So we get together at 6 once a month and chat about programming and this, that, and the other. And it's good. It's just good. It's good to have friends. And then Saturday, I'm having breakfast with another buddy. So it's going to be, it's a good week. It's a good week when I get together with friends and chat. In the saga, I may have mentioned last week that, no, well, maybe I would mention that I was thinking about it, that I responded to an ad for something called Wing Girl. supposedly this is, you know, the woman's going to help you with your love life. And so you're going to, you know, you're going to sign up and she's going to tell you how to talk to women and she's going to make you the man that women want. Okay. I was a bit interested in this because I thought, you know, you have never really spoken in depth about the map that you are carrying around in your head for the differences between men and women. And you've never spoke in depth with a woman about this, and obviously one would assume that this woman is a woman who has thought in depth about this if she is building a business on the fact that she's going to communicate with men and tell them how women think. Seems a fair assumption that she would have thought deeply about these things. So originally, the offer I was given was like $77, and that gave you a free week of her email coaching. And so I thought, well, you know, I pay the $77, ask her questions, say what there is to say. Then I got another email from her, supposedly. You know, when you're getting these emails, you really have no idea who you're talking to. Get another email from her that has an offer in it where you can try out the email coaching. It was called for $1. I'm thinking, it's $1. They did manage to upsell me on the Chictionary, supposedly the dictionary that's going to tell you what a woman means when she says certain things. Well, I read through that. There wasn't really much there that was news to me, but that was fine. It was another $8, so I figure I'm into this for $9. So I read very carefully, and it said that for that dollar, I would get 7 questions. Okay, that's fine. So I wrote my first question on Friday. A friend just went by and tooted his horn, and I waved. A friend just went by. On Friday, lost my train of thought there. On Friday, I wrote the email, introduced myself, admitted right up front that I am not hoping to become a man who women want, but that in fact I was an author. I included a link to my Amazon, you know, to all the books in Amazon, and you know, just kind of explained that I have what I think is a fairly good working knowledge of the differences between men and women. Have a framework in place that seems to work well, and I'm a writer, and I exploit that to try to write believable characters. And I'd love the chance to kind of rehearse this framework and get someone's reaction to it who is a female who has thought deeply about the differences between men and women. And I put on the bottom of it, so question 1 of 7, because supposedly I could ask 7 questions for this dollar. Put at the bottom of it, I said, so question 1 of 7, does this fall within the scope of your email coaching? Seems like a perfectly reasonable question to me. If the answer to that is no, then it's like, well, okay, I'll go ahead and cancel. It only cost me $1. So supposedly with this email coaching, when you signed up, you know, try to get back with you in 24 hours. And if not, then, you know, get back with you. If it's over the weekend, get back with you in 48 hours. Now, this was the first time I had seen all this advertising pop up. So it is very possible that Wing Girl has been overloaded with guys wanting to know how to become the man that women want. That is very possible, because it's a pitch that men would believe. That if they just, you know, if they just read enough stuff and ask enough questions, they can find the secret switches. That if they can just switch those switches, then women will want to have sex with them. Yeah, okay. Well, obviously the people who are signing up for this program don't really understand women very well, but that's okay. That's been going on for thousands of years. So, you know, it's quite possible that things just got overloaded, but if I didn't cancel, I was going to be paying $99 a month. So last night I canceled it, you know. That was 5 days later, which was, what, 120 hours later. I just went ahead and canceled it, took myself off the subscriber list and all that sort of thing. And we'll see if at some point in the future I actually get an answer. Because that would be very interesting. It would be very, very interesting to actually run some of these ideas of lust and fear and escalation and blindness past, just to see what there is to see. Speaking of that, segueing right into that. Writing. So writing is going good. I'm a little bit behind this week on words, but it was because I got right to the end of the second major transition in this book, and I had a moment I was trying to exploit. Oh, that was painful. I was supposed to be, you know, just punching through it on Tuesday night and moving on to the next section. And I was writing through it, and I was crying, and, you know, I was thinking, yeah, this is good. I'm crying and blowing my nose and working through it. And I get kind of to a spot, and I realize that I have gone dry. And that happens sometimes. You know, you think you've got it down on the page, but it ain't on the page. You know, you were thinking about something else, or there was some kind of subconscious thing that you had tied into, and I'm sitting there writing, and the words that are coming out are resonating with that thing, but they're not resonating by themselves, which is a really interesting thing. So I got this thing almost all the way down on the page. By that time, my sinuses are blown, because when you cry for long enough, then you get a headache. And I look back and glance at it, and I'm like, it is not on the page. And this is after I've been struggling with it. So instead of writing 1,000 words Tuesday night, I only ended up writing about 500, and they weren't good. Like, So then I'm stuck with trying to find the moment on a Wednesday night, which is not ideal because I fast on Wednesdays. And I tend to get a little loopy, you know, and tired by the end of the day. And so that's not really when I want to be on my best. But anyways, I think it's on the page. I decided to have a little gum, give myself at least a little 5-calorie boost here and there. And I think it's on the page now. I have yet to read it today. So we do a read-through tonight. If it's on the page, then I jump in and try to make up the time and try to get, you know, back to 10,000 words for the week, which last week I was at 13,000 words. So I think I'll be okay because I'm going into the last act now, the last section of the book, and there's a lot of action, you know, a lot of bingity-bangity-boom type thing, and get to the big dramatic points. And then I have the epilogue to write, which I think I know what I'm doing with the epilogue. That's supposed to be a big emotional pop as well. I think I've got that. I think. Although there are chunks in the story that I need to get to in order to get to that point, and depending on how things write out in this last third of the book, I've crossed 100,000 words now, and the book is only supposed to go to about 140,000 words, so I'm already lean, I'm already skinny. It's not the last third of the book, you know, it's like the last 3/5 of the book or something like, not 3/5, whatever it would be, last 3/8 of the book. We'll see. It's, you know, I'll just have to write it out. I may need to switch epilogues. I have an idea for something else I could do for an epilogue that would probably work. So we'll just see. It is unfortunately a little close to what I did in the last epilogue, so I'd like to do something else, but we'll see. It's all very exciting. It's just amazing because the section that I'm finishing up now, I didn't have all the pieces there yet, but, and there was one evening when I was trying to think my way through to a particular scene, and I was finally like, Goofus, don't think it through. Get your fingers in motion. And as soon as I did that, it was like, bam, 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 there it is. Okay. That's my golden rule. Writers, write. Don't be staring at a blank page trying to figure out what's going to be there. Just write. You can always go back and rewrite it later. Writers, write. I don't know how many times I've been stuck and you just put your fingers in motion and then you get this idea and you're off to the races. So, anyways, sometimes, you know, I have to take like 3 passes at it. And I just back up, read, and then I just start writing as fast as I can, and then poof, something will come. It's really interesting. Anyways, speaking of transitions to fear and lust and all that stuff, and blindness and escalation, blah, 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 came across the most important thing that happened this week, which was Kim and Kanye released their recording of him talking to Taylor Swift about his famous lyrics. In case you haven't heard about this, Kanye West, bless his little heart, wrote this song called Famous. And it was on his latest album, Life of Pablo. Because he's living the life of Pablo, and Pablo is like Pablo Picasso and a bunch of other Pablos, and so it's the life of a genius, which of course he is. So anyways, he writes this verse in this song called Famous, and I'm not going to read all the words because I, as a white person, am not allowed to say a certain word. For all my South Side ends that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous. I made that bitch famous. For all the girls that got something from Kanye West, if you see them in the street, give them Kanye's best. Why? They mad they ain't famous. They mad they still nameless. Okay, her man in the store trying to try his best, but he just can't seem to get Kanye fresh. But we still got hood famous. Yeah, we still hood famous. Okay, so that's the line. That in his infinite wisdom, in his knowing of all there is, he thinks it's actually a good idea. With all the history that he has had with Taylor Swift, he thinks it's a good idea to include in his song that he feels like him and Taylor might still have sex. Okay, you know, when we're talking about the continuum of lust and fear, Kanye is pretty much all the way over on the side of lust. And what that means is if you're all the way over on the side of lust, you're also all the way over on the side of blindness, that you really are blind to how people are perceiving you. You know, some people can say, oh, it's just an act and all that, but you know. I mean, you hear the guy talk and you just look at him like, what? Are you serious? This is the guy that, what, told the Facebook founder that he should give him some ridiculous amount of money for his clothing line because he could change the world if people would just give him money. You know, and the examples are countless where this guy says things where you just look at him and think, what? So for this song, he thought it was a good idea to say that he still feels that he and Taylor might have sex. Why? Because he made her famous. And the words aren't, he made her famous. The words are, I made that bitch famous. Okay, great. I'm sure she's gonna love that. Okay, so if he's just trying to irritate her, that's one thing. But apparently, he thought that it would be a good idea to call her up and talk to her about at least one of these lines and just let her know that that's the right thing to do when you're in relationships with people, to, you know, talk and let them know so it's not a surprise. And then at some point, Kim Kardashian decides that it's going to be a good idea to record this conversation. Never mind that it's illegal to do so. It's illegal to record a conversation and not have, I'm getting my mail, not have on record that the person agreed to be recorded. So, they have this recording. They... of talking to Taylor about it, and then they release it to prove that, in fact, Taylor Swift knew about the line, and her reaction to it when it comes out, where she's saying, you know, this is, leave me alone, oh, you know, that her reaction is just fake, that she knew it was coming. Okay. So there's two lines involved. This is fascinating to me. There's two lines involved. And now we have this conversation that's been recorded. I happen to have a transcript of this conversation. And if, say right now, if you listen to the conversation, you would be tempted at first blush, I'm backing into my garage, you would be tempted at first blush hearing Taylor Swift's response to Kanye, you would be tempted to believe that, in fact, this is a cordial, friendly conversation. That's what you would be tempted to believe. So I'm going to run through the conversation really quick. So at some point, we join the conversation in progress. There's never been an explanation for why Kim Kardashian, at least that I've read yet, for why Kim Kardashian decided that it would be a good idea to record this conversation, but she does. So it just starts, it really feels like you're jumping into the middle of this conversation, because the first thing that happens is Kanye West says to Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift's on the phone, you still got the Nashville number. That's not something you lead with. She says, I still have the Nashville number area code, but I had to change it. So Kanye reads the famous lyric, to all my South Side ends that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. She says, I'm this close to overexposure. I think what she's saying is she's been in the press a lot and she could probably stand not to be in the press. And he says, oh, well, I think this is a really cool thing to have. Really? You think it's cool for a woman to be quoted in your songs as someone that you think you might have sex with? You think that's cool? Blindness. It's blindness, I tell you. She says, I know. I mean, it's kind of like a compliment, kind of. I mean, it's like a compliment, kind of. He says, all I give an F about you is as a person and a friend. I want things that make you feel good. Oh, because in Kanye's mind, this is a compliment, apparently, when he says, well, I think we might have sex. So she says, well, that's sweet. He says, I don't want to do rap that makes people feel bad. She says, yeah, I mean, go with whatever line you think is better. It's obviously very tongue-in-cheek either way. And I appreciate you keep telling me about it. That's really nice. Okay, now, here's the thing to note. She says, yeah, I mean, go with whatever line you think is better. But he's only told her one line at this point. So apparently we are jumping into the middle of a conversation. So we don't know what came before it, what came after it. All right, that's important. Kanye West, oh yeah, I just had a responsibility to you as a friend, you know, and I mean, thanks for being so cool about it. Wow. This guy just does not get it. Taylor Swift, oh, thanks. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Like, the heads up is so nice. Even asking or seeing if I would be okay with it, I just really appreciate it. Like, I would never expect you to, like, tell me about a line in one of your songs. That's pretty crazy, Kanye West says. And then the flowers that you sent me, I, like, Instagrammed a picture of them, and it's, like, the most Instagram likes I've ever gotten. It was, like, 2.7, I don't know, million or something, but it's inaudible. Kanye West. Well, relationships are important, more important than punchlines. If relationships are more important than punchlines, you're not going to put a punchline that says, I feel like Taylor and I might still have sex in your song. Taylor Swift. I don't think anyone would listen to that and be like, that's a real dish, she must be crying. You got to tell the story the way you want it to happen and the way you experienced it. You honestly didn't know who I was before that. Now, remember that the line he read her was, to all my Southside ends, you know me best. I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Because if he didn't read the line to her, because I made that bitch famous, Taylor would have no reason to say, you honestly didn't know who I was before that. It doesn't matter that I sold 7 million of that album before you did that, which is what happened. You didn't know who I was before that. Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. So obviously there's more going on in this conversation than we see in the recording. It really doesn't matter in the end, because we need to keep in mind that what Taylor Swift is saying at this point is in the moment, and it's driven by escalation. Because if you just listen to the tone of her voice, she sounds like she's cool with all this. Okay, Taylor Swift goes on to say, I might be in... This isn't... It's marked as Taylor Swift, but it's not marked... I'm going to say that didn't make any sense. This is Kanye West comes back and he says, well, I might be in debt, but I can make these things happen. I have the ideas to do it, and I create these things and concepts. I'm always going to respect you. I'm really glad that you have the respect... No, wait. That is Taylor Swift. I don't know. Somebody says, I might be in debt, but I can make these things happen. I have the ideas to do it, and I can create these things. I'm always going to respect you. I'm really glad that you have the respect to call me and tell me as a friend about the song. It's a really cool thing to do and a really good show of friendship, so thank you. Kanye West, thank you too. Taylor Swift. And, you know, if people ask me about it, I think it would be great for me to be like, look, he called me and told me about the line before it came out. Joke's on you guys. We're fine. You guys want to call this a feud. You want to call this throwing shade. But right after the songs come out, I'm going to be on a Grammy red carpet, and they're going to ask me about it, and I'll be like, he called me. It's awesome that you're so outspoken about this, and like, yeah, she does. It made her famous. See, she says right there, yeah, it's awesome so that you're so outspoken about this and be like, yeah, she does. It made her famous. Now, maybe the line that he discussed with her was, After his line, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Maybe the line he gave to her was, yeah, she does. It made her famous. Okay, it's more provocative said, might still have sex. It doesn't matter to me. That's not the like one line that hurts my feelings, and that one doesn't. Okay, so there evidently was some discussion of a line about how that he had made her famous. There obviously was some discussion about that. Even the line, though, about I feel like Taylor and me might have sex. I think what's going on here, and, you know, Taylor is her own person, but honestly, a guy in this situation, if there was some kind of a homosexual person who ran up on stage and stole a guy's trophy trying to say that somebody else, first of all, that guy would have gotten punched. The fact that Taylor is a woman is the reason he didn't get punched. And then second of all, if a homosexual guy kept harassing a man like this and putting lines in, like, I feel like me and so might still have sex, what would happen, especially if he called and tried to get the guy to sign off on it, the guy would say, leave me alone. I'm not talking to you anymore. Leave me alone. And if you don't leave me alone, I'll sue you for harassment. Stop. But what you get instead, because of escalation and because of fear, I think, is you get Taylor Swift trying to play nice, trying to be a supportive artist, trying to not stir the waters up. You know, so when you hear her talking, it sounds like she's almost enthusiastic. It sounds like, yeah, that's fine. I understand, you know, no one's going to take that serious, and it's great. When guaranteed, there's something inside her that's going, are you kidding me? After all this, you're going to put a line in a song that says, you think that you and me are still going to have sex? Are you kidding me? Not going to happen. Never going to happen. In a million years. Done. But she won't say that because he's a fellow artist and she's trying to not stir up trouble. And the reason she's not stirring up trouble is because she's thinking of all the fallout there might be if she did stir up trouble. And so on the basis of that, she's just being kind and nice and yada, 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 because she just doesn't want to get into all this trouble. Now then, what's fascinating to me is that apparently there was discussion about the fact there was an also a line about how he made her famous. And Kanye, in his blindness, apparently, either A, Kanye, in his blindness, changed the line from, yeah, because I made her famous, to something like, I made that bitch famous. And in his mind, those are equivalent lines. Because, sure, she's cool. Why shouldn't she be cool with that? Because he's blind. Or he actually told her the line, A made that bitch famous. And the escalation in Taylor Swift was so severe that she just sort of went along with it a moment. And then when she finally got away from it, she realized how bad that was. And now, if I was to guess, I would guess that Kanye did not tell her the line in its form, I made that bitch famous. I just cannot believe that Taylor Swift, at her level of accomplishment, was so afraid of what might happen if she told off Kanye that she wouldn't say, you know, that's too far. It's just too far. I can't. Don't use that word in context with me. I mean, I would really hope that she would say that. But by the same token, I actually can understand when you're in the moment, you know, and you're just stunned and aghast that this person is so blind that he cannot even figure out how offensive that is. I could see in the moment how she could slip by. I don't think we'll ever know, because Kanye is too blind to ever say exactly what happened. Kim is too blind to say exactly what happened before the recording started. And frankly, it would not be a far reach to say that Taylor Swift might have been overwhelmed in the moment, and so she actually remembers it differently. This is the problem with blindness and escalation, because it clouds your memories. And so if you're not actively working to either dampen down the fear in your life that's controlling, or if you're not actively working to dampen down the blindness that your lust is causing in your life, oh man, things are happening around you and you are not in reality. Because if you're blind, you're not even paying attention to the reactions that other people are having for you, having to what you're doing. And if you've escalated, you've closed yourself off, and you're thinking you're expressing one thing, and you're not actually expressing that. It's fascinating stuff. So for all my guys out there, all my men in the hood, all my peeps who listen to this, don't ever assume that a woman other than your wife, and even sometimes with your wife, don't ever assume that you telling a woman that you think they might have sex, or that she's looking really hot and you would like to have sex with them, anything in that genre, don't ever think that's a compliment. Because it's not. It's just creepy. And it invokes a gag response in women. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.